Thank you, Hutch. And can I start by acknowledging the Wurundjeri people, the traditional owners of the land on which we meet today, and say that so long as Indigenous Australians continue to experience worse educational outcomes, less prosperity, and a persistently stubborn gap in life expectancy, then we will not have truly achieved reconciliation in this country. And the road to that achievement must be through having a listening heart, a heart that listens, for example, to the Uluru Declaration from Indigenous Australians. And that listening and the action which must accompany it will continue to be part of a core mission of this movement until we reach that day when Australia truly can say that the great benefits of our country are equally shared between Indigenous and emigrant Australians alike. Can I acknowledge Hutch Hussain, the President of the Victorian branch of the Labor Party, and can I acknowledge Claire Burns, the Secretary, and through them acknowledge all members of the Victorian Labor Party who over the course of the last 12 months have campaigned and fought in two elections. And as a member of Parliament, I'm sure I speak on behalf of all of us who are the recipients of the beneficiaries of that work in saying thank you. Thank you for every hour, for every moment that you have dedicated to our cause. Can I acknowledge the Victorian trade union movement, a movement which focuses each and every day on one simple objective, and that is improving the lot of working Australians. It is a movement which I'm very proud to say I have spent the majority of my working life as a part. I'd like to acknowledge and remember Mehmet Tilim, a dear friend of mine, a Victorian Labor senator, and a person who very tragically and prematurely passed away on this day last week. I know that there are a number of people in this room who would say that the reason they've dedicated their abilities, their talents, their life to our movement is because of Mehmet. And the contribution that they will make is Mehmet's enduring legacy to our party. I know that they and all of us in our grief give our condolences to Thurda, Mehmet's wife, and to Mikhail, Mehmet's son. I'd like to acknowledge all of those who today became life members of the Labor Party through a lifetime of commitment to our party, have been rightly awarded the party's greatest honour. And I'd also like to acknowledge one other member of the party, Bill Shorten. Over the course of my adult life, Bill has been a very close friend. And over the course of the last 6 years, Bill has led our movement wonderfully. He took over the reins in the aftermath of the 2013 election loss at a very difficult time when our party badly needed unity, and he gave that to us. And each day after that, he worked tirelessly in a fashion which saw off two prime ministers and characterised a dedication and a devotion that he has to this party, which I know he loves. We all owe Bill an enormous debt of gratitude. And I'm mindful that this is the first occasion on which we have met since the federal election. The 18th of May was a very difficult day for all of us, for those of us who hoped we might be doing a different job on this day to the one that we are, for the thousands of party members and supporters who put in so much hard work to try and realise a federal Labor government. But actually, the day was most difficult, not for those of us in the movement, but for the millions of Australians who hoped for, who were relying on the formation of that federal Labor government so that we could have again in this country just and fair and decent government after six long years. And so there has been, since the 18th of May, a lot of grief, a lot of soul searching, and that's completely understandable. In fact, it's important. But 9 days ago, Craig Emerson and Jay Weatherall handed down the party's review into the election. It was an important document. It was thorough and thoughtful. It gave us the answers to the questions about what went wrong, and it contains within it the lessons that we must learn going forwards so that we do what we must do 2 years from now, and that is win. But it was also an important document because it represents a turning point, a moment where we shift from thinking about the what ifs to acting on the what now. Because for all the pain that we have experienced since the 18th of May, perhaps the greatest is having to watch this ordinary, this hopeless coalition government continue to govern. And for all the surprise that was felt throughout the country about the result on May 18, the group of people who are most surprised to find themselves sitting where they are in the parliament right now is the government itself. So this is a government without an agenda. This is a government which has no plan. This is a government which has absolutely no idea. No idea how to deal with a stagnant economy which is experiencing anemic growth, in which 2 million Australians are now looking for more work, and where, for so many, life is characterised by going each and every week to the supermarket and faced with the most difficult decision about what they do not buy for their family with the money that they do not have. This is a government which has absolutely no idea how to deal with one of the most difficult and severe droughts that our country has ever experienced. And so, despite endless announcements which essentially amount to nothing more than reheating and repackaging existing loan arrangements, the only substantive act of this government has been to kick hundreds of struggling farmers off the farm household allowance. And all the while, there are now towns in New South Wales which are months away from running out of water altogether. This is a government which has no idea how to deal with a broken aged care system, one in which 16,000 elderly Australians die each and every year while they await an aged care package, and one which was described by the Royal Commissioners as a sad and shocking system which diminishes Australia as a nation. This government has no idea what to do with the most challenging set of strategic circumstances that Australia has faced since the Second World War. And so it's letting our key relationships drift with our most important international partners, and these are relationships which will take us into the future. This is a government which is idle. This is a government which is doing nothing except for rewriting the textbook on smugness. And if it has any focus, its focus is actually on us, and through us, attacking working Australians. And you only need to look at what they've been doing in the Senate this week with the Ensuring Integrity Bill to get an example of that. I mean, this is a bill which is going to make it much harder for trade unions in this room today to campaign and to struggle for safer workplaces. This is a bill which will make it much harder for health unions, for example, to campaign and to struggle for better services in our hospitals. And so we stand resolutely opposed to this bill. And we will do everything that is within our power to make sure that this bill never becomes the law of the land. And what all of this means is that our primary job as a Labor opposition is to become a Labor government at the earliest opportunity. We cannot see Scott Morrison spend one extra day as the Prime Minister of this country beyond this term. And so 8 days ago, Anthony Albanese made a really critical speech, which sought to put a line underneath the last election and all that we take from it, which asks us to look forward now and to fix our gaze, to lock it on the next election and on winning it, knowing that the very difficult journey from now until then will involve days and weeks and months where we don't win. And that's okay. Because while it's nice to win games in April, the only game that really matters is winning the grand final on the last day in September, and our grand final is the next election. And if there's anything we've learnt in the past few months, the only day on which it matters that we win is that day. And so we're going to build an agenda which is going to enable us to tell the story that we need to tell to the Australian people so that we can win on that day. An agenda which has at its heart a credible economic policy, the centre of which will be genuine wage increases. Because we need a strong economy, but we need an economy that is fair as well. Indeed, we don't get a strong economy unless it is fair. We're going to build an agenda around skills that equips working Australians and their kids to do the jobs of the present, but to do the jobs of the future. And in the process, we're going to change Australia's cultural relationship to science, because it is so important that Australia is at the forefront of human progress. That is where prosperity lies. But it's also so important that that prosperity is shared by all Australians. We're going to develop an agenda which deals with questions of drought in a way which sees farmers get the assistance when they need it, but which also sees drought as part of a larger agenda which accepts the science of climate change and actually does something about it. And we acknowledge that there are carbon-based industries in this country which have been really important in terms of our economic development and will be fundamental to our economy for decades to come. And we will and we must celebrate those who work in those industries, like coal miners. But at the same time, we need to position our economy through renewables so that it is in a position to take advantage of the incredible opportunities of a global economy which is shifting to a lower carbon future. We're going to focus on the elderly who are suffering in the aged care system. We're going to focus on the unemployed who are suffering the indignity, which is the current rate of Newstart. We're going to focus on the NDIS and make sure that it achieves its promise and in the process unlocks the economic potential of Australians with a disability. And we're going to do all of this in a way which tells a story of bringing Australians together in a new consensus of hope for our nation. Now, that hope for our nation and indeed for our movement was embodied in the work that you all did at the last federal election, one which saw Labor in this state return 21 of the 38 federal seats to Labor, 55% of the state. Actually a great result. It's a result which has seen a wonderful new crop of people come from this state to the federal caucus. Josh Burns, Kate Thwaites, Daniel Molino, Raf Ciccone, Jess Walsh, and Libby Coker and the indomitable Peter Murphy, both of whom won their seats off the Liberals. You know, their collective talents, their collective abilities really are the embodiment of the hope that inspires all of us to walk the journey that we must over the next 2 years to victory. Because, delegates, I never want to feel what I felt on the 18th of May ever again. Yeah. And I want to assure you that the Federal Parliamentary Labor Party is utterly determined, as I know that you all are, to make sure that we win the next election, to make sure that Anthony Albanese becomes the next Prime Minister of this country and that we form a federal Labor government once again. because for all the pain on May 18, we're actually on 68 seats in the House of Representatives. We're within striking distance. We're proportionately closer than we were in the lead up to 72, to 83, or to 2007. We are absolutely in a position to win the next election. And under Anthony's fantastic leadership, we have set out a strategic plan which takes us from this day to election day. And I know that with your help, with your enthusiasm, and with your support, the next election is one that we absolutely will win. Thank you.